Six.
1 minute left, and we still haven't reached our goal for this hour. We don't want the producers here at KBOO to think that our listeners don't value the newscast, don't value Counterspin. We want to actually show, yes, this is something that our listeners support. This is something that our listeners will represent for, will step up to the plate for, will go to battle for, and will put up $500 for, we'll put up $1,000 for, if that's what it comes to. And that is what it's coming to, and we need your support. 877-500-5266. We need your support for this programming, for this station, right now.
Get radioactive. Get KBOO memorized. Now is the time to renew or become a new member. And we're looking at folks contributing on a monthly basis. It's simple. It's easy. You pledge $10, $15, $20, whatever you can afford, comes directly out of your bank account or credit card. And once you've pledged, you don't even think about it anymore. Dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
Good evening. The time is now 6 p.m. and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Dear KBOO listeners, I have one simple question for you. What is your favorite Hank Williams song? We are dedicating our September 12th Swingin' Country program to the music of Hank Williams, and we would like your input. We are calling it All Things Hank Consider, just to annoy the good people at National Public Radio. So please email us at program@kboo.org and tell us your favorite song by Hank Williams or your favorite song about Hank Williams, and we will play it on the September 12th Swingin' Country show right here on your community radio station. Once again, that email is program@kboo.org. So tune in September 12th at 6 a.m. as we solemnly pledge to play Hank, all Hank, and nothing but Hank. So help me God.
Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Overlook Family Restaurants for providing breakfast, located at 1332 North Skidmore, serving Greek and American cuisine featuring a lounge with a fireplace. Kell's Irish Pub for providing lunch, located at 112 Southwest 2nd. Kell's is family owned and operated and has been serving the Northwest since 1930. Kell's newest location on Northwest 21st features 5 microbrews and is near the Timbers and Thorns matches. Marrakesh Moroccan Restaurant for providing dinner, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, featuring fixed price meals as well as an a la carte menu served on pillowed low banquettes plus regular belly dancing.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Aladdin Theater, presenting an evening with singer-songwriter Carla Bonoff, Friday, September 18th. Tickets and information for Carla Bonoff are available at the aladdin-theater.com. This program is also made possible by People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to whole foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on 21st and Tibbet Street between Division and Powell, more information at peoples.coop.
Marching at the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. come marching. So many women dead.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists, bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO, 90.7 FM. Women have held this forum on KBOO since 1978. That is 37 years. You can also find us on the web at www.kboo.breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, share your comments, and show ideas. Like us on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses. I'm your host this evening, Zoe Piliafis, and my fabulous engineer, Abine. Tonight, we are speaking with the founders of Speak Like a Girl, a feminist interactive poetry show that uses spoken word to educate, entertain, and inspire. Born from the minds of Olivia Gatwood and Megan Falley, Speak Like a Girl juggles issues such as street harassment, body image, gender inequality, with humor and with grace. Megan Falley is the author of a two-length collection of poetry, After the Witch Hunt and Redhead and The Slaughter King, both out of Right Bloody Publishing. Her chapbook, Bad Girls Honey, Poems About Lana Del Rey, was the winner of the 2014 Tired Hearts competition. Olivia Gatwood has been featured on HBO's Brave New Voices and is the author of the chapbook Drunk Sugar. She is a sex and relationships writer for Bustle Magazine and a recent graduate of Pratt Institute's fiction program. Together, these women are National Poetry Slam and Women of the Poetry Slam finalist and have been featured on TV's One Verses and Flow. They are currently touring North America. Welcome to Bread and Roses, ladies. We're waiting to get Olivia online. It looks like we've lost her. She is currently on the East Coast. I had the opportunity today to look through her slam poetry, and I was fascinated with the artistic way in which they were able to get across feminist issues and support people thinking outside of the box. Instead of just having panels to have discussions, they in fact bring in art to motivate our thinking. So welcome, ladies, to the show. Olivia, Megan, are you there?
We're here and excited to be here. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Looks like we had a little technical issue, so I was giving you a wonderful, warm welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Yeah. What time is it over there for you?
9 p.m. We're in New York right now.
All right. So I'm excited to chat with you about your work, but first I want to know how you two met and then what sparked the idea to form Speak Like a Girl.
Sure. It's our favorite story to tell. So Megan, you want to... This is Olivia.
I'll start. Yeah. Hi, this is Megan. So I met... I first saw Olivia actually sitting on the couch that I'm sitting at right now. On the television. I was in college and I was big into spoken word, and I saw that HBO had a spoken word poetry special called Brave New Voices with youth poets, and I was like, yeah, I could be into this. So I turned it on and I watched it, and I was blown away by Olivia, who is a couple years younger than me, and I was just like, who is this wonderful youth poet coming to take my job? I was just blown away and such a fan instantly of her, and
So that was my first experience with Olivia. And simultaneously, this is Olivia speaking now, I was watching Megan on YouTube because I was sort of watching the women who were, you know, a couple years older than me and what they were doing, and was kind of fangirling over them. And Megan was one of those women. So I was a fan of Megan already. And then I moved to New York a couple years later for college, and Megan happened to live, or Megan's partner at the time lived like two blocks from where I was living. So we actually ran into each other on the street. And me, being the awkward human that I am, like ran and hid in the corner. And Megan, being the showstopper that she is, was like, hello,
hello, you've arrived. And I, you know, chased Olivia down and made her talk to me.
And then a couple years later, we both made the same poetry slam team called Urbana in New York. And before that, we hadn't spent any time together, really.
We did play Truth or Dare once.
Oh, we did play Truth or Dare once.
We played Truth or Dare. I got Olivia to steal some onion rings off somebody's plate or something. But that was the extent of our friendship, really.
I love it. I love it. We're going to get in a moment into your shows, how it challenges audiences. But I want to take a moment to break to Annie to bring in why it is important to ensure that funding continues for KBOO Community Radio.
Well, it is important because it is, in fact, you, our listeners, that pay the bill for this radio station. We are community radio, and you are the community that supports us. It is a reciprocal relationship because what we do here is through volunteer power. We create programs that actually inform, that inspire, that raise up communities, that truly work for a better world. And that's our public affairs and news programs. We also offer a whole diversity of music programs as well. Whatever your taste, from jazz to old time to hip hop to punk rock to experimental noise, we have news, we have music, we have theater, we have poetry from so many perspectives, from people from so many communities who are volunteers who came in to learn how to use the media. And you right now benefiting from listening, you pay the bills. It's how this experiment works. We've been doing this for 47 years, and we do it by, say, you right now taking the time to call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. I am excited to be here on this fall membership drive. It is a gorgeous Friday afternoon. The weekend is here, and it is important to, you know, me to be hearing this conversation right now. Radical feminist poetry slamming, talk like a girl, how to actually break out of these stereotypes, empowering women, empowering young women, getting us to think consciously about our power and how we use it and how we use our words. That is phenomenal. I'm looking forward to the rest of this conversation. And it's important that we raise the money needed so that we can continue quality broadcasts just like this. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You can sustain us. You can sustain us for as little as $5 a month. Any contribution is very much appreciated. But it's so easy to just sort of consider KBOO one of those monthly things that gets ticked off of your bank account. You know that you have other entertainment expenses that way. And you can just sort of throw KBOO in the mix for $5, $7, $10, you get to set the amount that's right for you and know that it happens automatically and painlessly, generally, even without really much of your notice. If you set the amount that's right for you, it's a wonderful way to strengthen your community all year round. You just have to make the call once, and that call again can be made at 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. You can bring your credit card to the phone, your debit card to the phone, and contribute that way. You can do that monthly as well if you choose. You can talk with the phone answerers about maybe even coming on down, getting a tour of the station. You can drop by 20 Southeast 8th, use the little intercom phone outside, and let us know that you're here. You want to become a contributing member to KBOO, and you want to see where your money goes. We'll be happy to show you around the studios and talk to you about your involvement at KBOO, your very own community radio station. It's pretty exciting. Your support's been generous, and we thank you so very much for it. Now we need to thank a couple more of you. Please make this your time. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
Thank you, Annie. Olivia, Megan, your show, Speak Like a Girl, It challenges audiences to consider the nuances of rape culture by unearthing patriarchal reinforcements of it in our everyday lives. For example, video games to cartoons, from pop culture to even marriage proposals. Can you explain to me how you see rape culture showing up in even our video games and our cartoons?
Definitely. I mean, even so much as when we're little kids, it's really infiltrating all of our media. I remember watching Looney Tunes as a kid and seeing Pepe Le Pew attack the black cat who always accidentally gets a white stripe painted down her back. And, you know, he harasses her and, you know, kisses her and, you know, hugs her, and she's trying to get out of his grasp all the time because, you know, he smells so bad. And we always, like, you know, the TV slapped a laugh track behind that, and he's considered a romantic cartoon character. So we're learning early that, like, a woman saying no and not being listened to is funny, or that a man's persistence is romantic.
Right. You know, it's terrible to think that you don't even think about these things as you're watching it as a child, and you often even think about it as you grow older and you put your child in front of the television to watch the same thing. You know, I never thought about before rape culture showing up in marriage proposals. Can you explain from your perspective how this shows up in our lives?
Yeah, actually, that was inspired by something my father had taught me. He once told me that a marriage proposal shouldn't be a proposal, it should be a conversation. And it got me thinking more about the ways in which women are sort of not only put on the spot but with something like that, but that on YouTube, you can actually go look at women being proposed to in stadiums and saying no, and the way that the audience reacts is borderline violent. And all of the comments are shaming her and calling her names. And the fact that a woman's honest response to a question like that, that changes the rest of her life, would be shamed in that way is just really exemplary of the way we treat the answer no when it comes from the mouth of a woman.
You know, as you're saying this, it's amazing to me to think that the ways in which you are trying to disrupt this, you bring workshops to universities to bring life through healing and art. Why do you believe that art is an important method to support growth and healing?
I mean, so one thing that we like to say we do, our show is an hour long, and we like to say that, you know, we trick people into getting lectured about feminism by providing an entertaining show. So I think what Olivia and I do is very entertaining. It's fun. It's moving. It can be vulgar, which, you know, gets people listening. And I think if we were advertising it as an hour-long lecture on feminism, people would be less likely to show up than when we say, this is an hour-long spoken word poetry show. So definitely the medium, when you're having fun, or when you're, like, feeling something in an environment like that, I think you're just more receptive to learn.
I agree. What if someone was sitting in your workshops, what would they expect? I know that you have writing workshops and other workshops. What should they expect in your workshops?
I think that it depends on, you know, the writing or whether it's a writing or a community workshop. Our poetry workshops are pretty aimed at getting people to write and getting people to kind of write the thing that they've never written. Which is inherently like using your voice, you know, in that way, in an unapologetic way specifically, we believe is, you know, an inherently feminist act. And we also offer like community building workshops where even in our shows, you know, we take polls and ask if people have been catcalled before and if they've been made to feel unsafe and to raise their hand. And then we have everybody look around and see how many people have their hands raised, just to know, like, to be aware. And there, it's about like looking in on your community and seeing how, you know, rape culture and
gender inequality and the patriarchy are affecting people in negative ways.
And people that are often sitting right next to you in a classroom, people that you're on the same campus as. And then when you come to one of our shows or one of our workshops, you're able to see those same people talk about things that they're experiencing in a way that you might have never known.
Yeah, catcalling happens to me 3 or 4 times a day if I leave the home. And it has just become part of what I have to walk through every day. And I think it's important for us as women to decide that there's no shame and we need to stand up and say enough. With that, I want to transition to Annie, bring in Annie, to share with you again why it is important to support our show and shows that are on KBOO. Annie.
Hi, Zoe. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited that you have Olivia and Megan on tonight on Bread and Roses. As you were mentioning, it is the longest running feminist show here on the West Coast. It's possibly in the country. I believe I've heard that rumor. I will go check that history. I think that it's really got this amazing legacy that you, in fact, can be a part of. And you can do it so easily by calling 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. It's an easy thing to do. It's a decision you can make right now that empowers yourself and empowers your entire community. It strengthens us as we work together to create the social change we need to bring about a more equitable world. This is community radio. We have a new mission statement. We have a new vision statement. And they both really emphasize our radical legacy and our part in social change, how that is in fact a part of community media, KBOO. So you know that you are supporting a broad range of programming and a broad range of communities here at KBOO. When you call 877-500-5266. Or again, you can contribute online. You go to our website, kboo.fm, and you can contribute there. You can become a member very quickly, very easily, in a secure manner. And you can also check out on our website information about programs upcoming, or in fact, you can check out programs that have happened, and news and public affairs programs by and large are available online to listen to after the fact. So maybe you missed Bread and Roses last week and you were wondering what that show was about. You can check it out online and you can see there the archival, I can't really say footage, the archival sound file, and actually avail yourself of that information, you know, even a week later or a month later. For public affairs shows, we keep them on the website so you can keep that resource close to you. 877-500-5266. When you become a sustaining member of KBOO, again, $5 a month is a great way to start, or why not make it $10 a month right now at 877-500-5266. When you do, that contribution goes to things like improving our website. We have a new one on the way. We are archiving programs now because of popular demand. We have new features. We also have these great programs that we broadcast on the air 24 hours a day, the vast majority of them created by volunteers from our communities locally. Pretty much everyone you hear on the air is a volunteer that's creating programming as a volunteer, and that is something that we are completely proud of here at KBOO, because we train community members in how to be the media, how to use the power of the radio to actually broadcast our messages, broadcast our passionate commitments to social change and our communities, the art that moves us, the music that moves us, whatever it is, KBOO is here so that we can amplify your voices and the whole community can hear and benefit from the knowledge and information, the art, the music that you are providing. 877-500-5266. You are a provider of that with your call and your contributions. Again, $10 a month or $15 a month. What you can contribute, we would love to accept and welcome you into the KBOO family. Perhaps you've been a member for a while. Well, maybe it's time to renew. If you don't really remember the last time you called us to renew your membership, This would be a great time to do it again. 877-500-5266. Come on down and visit us in person. Let us give you a tour of the studio. Let us show you the air room. Meet the volunteers. Find out more information about how community media is made by people just like yourself. Whatever you have the ability to contribute, some people contribute time. Some people contribute money. Some people contribute both. And right now, we're asking you to do your part and pick up the bill. Go ahead and financially support this community media project at 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. You can bring a credit card to the phone. You can start your electronic funds transfer off of your credit card instantaneously. Or if you would like to have that come out of your checking account, we can set that up for you very easily. The phone answer and volunteer can explain exactly how that's done. And you'll be happy to talk to them. They'll be happy to talk to you. It'll be an extra bonus in your afternoon. Go ahead and make that call now. 877-500-5266.
All right, we are back with Olivia and Megan from Speak Like a Girl. Ladies, you were recently featured in an article by Ratfire, and you were speaking about female writers and the gender pay gap. There's a quote that buzzes around about how women make 78 cents to the man's dollar, but even that is misinformation. Can you illuminate how this is not reflective of all women?
Sure. That statistic, I guess it's not a statistic either, that fact is not a fact. It only actually applies to white women. Black women and Latino women make significantly less. So I think, you know, that just shows the way that we learn about white women as kind of the standard for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fact that we talk about when women got the right to vote as being a certain year, and that it was only inclusive of white women too, and the other demographics were much later.
Right, and when we celebrate it nationwide, it does a disservice. You know, the article is truly about why it is important to publish women authors. Why do you guys believe it is important that women have equity in publishing?
Simply put, because women's stories are valuable. And when we're not publishing women authors, we're not illuminating or highlighting the woman's voice whatsoever. And I think that, you know, that's dangerous and quite frankly, it's just kind of a tragedy.
Also, men are just like historically not great at writing women characters.
Right.
So, why?
Right. It's hard to write what you haven't experienced. So tell me, who are some of your favorite women authors, people we may or may not know?
Well, one poet that we're both a big fan of and we're really excited because we get to do a show with her next month is Sharon Olds. We're doing a show with her in Michigan, and she's just one of our favorite poets who we really admire.
Natalie Diaz is incredible. Olivia's reading The Bluest Eye right now.
I'm upset with how little Toni Morrison I was given to read in school, so I'm trying to catch up on that post-college.
Alice Munro, Marty McConnell, Angel Nassis, there are poets, there are novelists. The list could go on.
You know, I wanted to engage with you about one of the poems that struck a chord with me. I was listening to a few of your poetry slams this afternoon, and your poem titled Collapse the Economy really stuck out. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind reading it for the audience and then engage with me in a conversation about it.
Sure, yeah.
So this is actually a little known fact. We don't know if you knew. But studies predict that if women stopped buying cosmetic products and services, every economy in the world would collapse overnight. This is a call to collapse the economy. Let's cover our scented tampons and hairspray, light them on fire, and throw them at Maybelline's headquarters. Let's take all our leftover lotions and soaps and make the world's largest flip and slide down Capitol Hill.
Weight Watchers will have a whole new meaning, like just wait and watch as I burn this place down. Imagine, what could we do with all these fangs? Probably make some sort of catapult to launch our skin-softening bath bombs into enemy territory. Victoria's secret is that she's going out of business. I have kicked at my body like a scab. I have squeezed at my face in the mirror until no more me could come out of me. I changed my outfit 8 times before I got here. Oh, you thought we were going to stop at burning bras? Well, then you shouldn't have given us so much flammable stuff. I am not bleaching my butthole. I'll bleach you, butthole. Come fast. Even you, Diva Cup, will be a thing of the past. Tonight, we paint the town red. Are you going to put these fake eyelashes on for me?
No.
Then I don't really want them. Does that shampoo also come with the Photoshop you used on the model?
No.
Then I don't really want it. Screw you, Summer ZD. I'd rather my vagina not smell like Island Splash or Delicate Blossom.
What does that even smell like?
That's not even a real scent. My vagina is already bejazzled enough. Let's throw out our razors and grow our hair as long as rivers. How beautiful it will be to take the money I spend to be pretty for you, make my hair soft for you, my nails like candy for you, give myself skin cancer for you, go under the knife for you, and stop giving the 76 cents back. There were days I spent hours crying in the dressing room.
Days I didn't leave the house until someone had a camera for fear of becoming another before picture.
So thank you, Cosmo, for giving me 472 more sex tips
to completely ignore. Thank you for all the lipstick to write. I am flawless on the wall.
Thank you for the cover-up.
Vanishing cream.
Thank you for making us invisible. That way, you'll never see us coming.
Wow. Thank you, ladies. I think our listeners now might have a better understanding of what to expect from a live performance from you. It's a creative way to spark dialogue. In your poem, you said, "I have picked at my body like a scab." The pressure to look a certain way, to conform to society's beauty standards. Where does our power lie in transforming this distorted image of beauty?
I think that one response that's interesting from this poem is that sometimes people take it as though we're shaming women who use these products. And I think it's important to interpret this poem as pretty hyperbolic, of course. I think it's more about understanding kind of what you're doing for yourself, and paying attention to the way that the media is teaching you how to look at yourself.
I mean, there's, if you watch like a commercial geared towards women, they're basically like, hey, you're ugly and you need these products to not be ugly. And whereas like if you watch a man's commercial, it's like, you are a man, this will help. You know, it's like, it's just a different kind of vibe. And, you know, we wear makeup and we have fun and we're, you know, pretty femme women. I meant pretty as in, like, very femme, not pretty as
not beautiful.
But we're also super beautiful for this. And that's important, you know, for us to celebrate it in all women. But, yeah, I mean, the standard that you have to buy these products almost to survive is what we find to be the toxic thing here.
Thank you. Our standard of beauty is also not inclusive of the wonderful diversity in which women show up in the world. How does white supremacy dictate who gets to be beautiful and who doesn't?
You know, I think that it's it runs really deep. I think that a blatant way to see it is to walk into any major makeup store and you'll see that less than 10% of the brands offer makeup that works on darker skin tones. And that's just a blatant, you know, inclusivity or lack of inclusivity. You know, less than 2% of Fashion Week models are women of color. And young girls are looking at these programs and looking at these places to see themselves, but also to see beauty. And when those two things don't match up, how can you possibly look at yourself as beautiful?
There's even like, you know, Dove, who is often celebrated for like making women feel beautiful and stuff. There's products where tanning lotions where it says for normal to dark skin. And it's saying, you know, that light skin is the norm. Even like nude, a nude always means like a white woman's skin tone, really. Mm-hmm. So just you know, the standard is like, here's what the standard is. And it's hard not to, it's hard to feel, you know, beautiful when you're deviating from the standard.
And to, and it comes down to what we, to who the makeup industry and who the beauty industry deems as worth their products and worth having access to their products. Mm-hmm. And there's a pretty large percentage of women, you know, of different bodies and different races that are just written off as not being worth it, mm-hmm. or don't feel beauty is for them.
You know, the internalized sexism that exists in ourselves is difficult to see. I know that I'm still unpacking the many ways that it shows up in my life. And I think it is important to be transparent in our walk towards this consciousness. There's a conditioning that happens to us that we have to uncondition. You know, so for example, if I think back to my early 20s, I was with a friend who was breastfeeding in public. And I remember people were giving her dirty looks as she fed her child. And I remember feeling embarrassed and wanting her to go someplace else to feed her child. And it took me many years to think about how absurd it was and how much this was a part of patriarchy to expect that a woman feeding her child should be covered. Can you share any moments that in your walk and in your path to raising your own personal consciousness where perhaps you were uncomfortable and you had to grow and you had to identify it and move through it?
I can definitely speak on that. I think, and this is Megan speaking, but Olivia and I had conversations, and I think she was raised similarly, or not raised, but grew up similarly in that, you know, when I was in high school, I mostly hung out with boys, and it was like, that felt like a really empowering thing to me, for me to be like, yeah, I'm not like other girls. I'm down. I'm not like, you know, going to break a nail or something. I'm like down to drink in my pet, you know, whatever it was. And that I wanted to make a distinction from the femininity because I felt above it in some way, or that I viewed it in a lesser way. And now, I've total 180. Now I'd like no boys to be around.
Why did you want to speak on, was I listening to Olivia or was I with Megan?
That was Megan.
Olivia, do you have any comments on the internalized sexism that you've had to unpack in yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that also is the largest thing for me. I grew up in a lot of pretty male-dominated activities. I was pretty athletic and kind of what I guess is called a tomboy. And so I think I spent a lot of time viewing the feminine as weak. And then as I grew, you know, into older, I started, you know, I remember vividly saying things like, I don't hang out with girls because they're too dramatic. Mm-hmm. And didn't have many friends that were girls. And it got to a point in my life where I needed friends that were women and I didn't have any. And I think that was a kind of an especially jarring experience to like, realized that there were things I needed to talk about and there were concepts I needed to process. I think I realized this in my first women's studies class my first year in college, and I hadn't been in a room of just women in so long, and I definitely spent the next few years of my life like actively trying to change that.
I remember being in my first women's studies class and being able to suddenly name what I had been feeling as a younger person. There's a lot of power in being able to tie a name to what you already know. But in it, there's this illumination of sadness that you look back and realize that it didn't and shouldn't be that way. So you speak like a girl. Tell me, why did you decide upon that name?
We were kind of bouncing around for a while when we decided to go on tour. We initially were just going to name the tour. We didn't actually intend for it to be this kind of full ongoing show. I mean, this is our full-time jobs at this point, and I don't think either of us expected that. So we were just looking to name the tour, which is pretty common practice for touring artists. Do you remember how we came up with it, Megan?
You know, I have no idea, but I know that the meaning behind it is, you know, this idea that throwing like a girl or hitting like a girl is something that's supposed to be running like a girl is considered insulting. And I think that when anybody watches Olivia and I, you know, on stage and speaking like these, you know, fierce things and these bold truths, that they can't look at speaking like a girl as an insult. And that in that way it can become an empowering thing.
Thank you. And I'm glad that we get to speak like women this evening together. I'm going to transition to Ani. Ani, can you speak like a woman and tell us why it is important to continue funding community radio?
Absolutely, Zoe. It's super important because you can actually know that you are supporting conversations like this. This is an incredible conversation that Zoe's having with Olivia and Megan. And I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Abani, the incredible board operator, and we're nodding because, in fact, what you've just described is such the common experience to us all. You know, why didn't we hang out with other girls while we were growing up? Why did we identify in these ways? Why, you know, how did, you know, we all had this common experience. And Zoe, just like you were saying, there's a lot of power in being able to name your experience. There's a huge amount of power in being able to hear other women's experience and to be able to connect with that and know that you're not alone and you're not the only one. And that's why it's important that you call and support community radio, that you support KBOO right now, 877-500-5266, because you, as a supporter, as a sponsor of KBOO Community Radio, you are one of the people that allows this conversation to happen, that allows these connections to get made, that allows these conversations to slip into living rooms and cars, you know, all through Cascadia and through the powers of the interwebs all around the world, so that we can hear this and go, yeah, there's some commonality in that experience, and that is so empowering to be brought out of isolation and into community, and that's what it's about. Please give us a call now, 877-500-5266. It's exciting to be here in the fall membership drive asking for your support, because that is how community radio works. We are grassroots radio, and you are our grassroots. Right now, we're asking you to step up to the phone and pick up the financial expense of running this business, of keeping the lights on, keeping that power coming from the transmitter, getting the building, you know, into the shape it needs to be. We had to fix, you know, the air conditioners, all those, you know, expenses that everyone has in their lives or their businesses. Well, we at Community Radio have them too. And you are our sponsor. Really, over 80% of our annual budget comes directly from individuals. So we're asking you right now to step to the phone and to allow this to continue with your support. Be a part of this community. $5 a month or $10 a month. Jump on in to a sustaining membership. The water's just fine. I think you'll find that it has a little impact, very little impact on your pocketbook, but a huge impact on your community. 877-500-5266. We had an interview on Wednesday morning. Again, if you didn't get to hear it the first time, you can check it out on our archives on KBOO.fm. As Kathleen Stevenson, our Morning News and Public Affairs Director, interviewed Kate Harding. And she wrote a book called Asking for It: The Alarming Rise of Rape Culture and What We Can Do About It. Again, a lot of shared experience in that interview. A lot of women sitting here in the membership area going, oh my God, yes. Oh my God, just like that. Oh, that, yes. And again, ending with the what we can do about it. So we are, in fact, leaving that conversation empowered and inspired to take action. Right now, you can get a copy of this book as your thank you gift when you dial 877-500-5266 and contribute $5 a month, and you can ask for a copy of Asking for It and receive this book, again, sent to you as your thank you gift. It all happens when you call 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ani. I think that's the perfect book for this show. And in fact, I will be donating this evening to ensure that I get a book as well. I'd like to welcome back my guest, Olivia Gatwood and Megan Falley. They are the founders of Speak Like a Girl, a feminist interactive poetry show that uses spoken word to educate, entertain, and inspire. Ladies, welcome back. You practice intersectional feminism. Can you tell us why it is important in the movement to ensure that we are practicing intersectional feminism?
You know, I think that one thing that's important to keep in mind is that when sexism is pretty much always paired with some other form of bigotry. So for a woman who's differently, has a different body than someone else, maybe the sexism she faces is also paired with ableism. For a woman of color, when she experiences sexism, she can't experience sexism without racism. So to go through conversations about sexism without acknowledging these other forms of bigotry is to ignore pretty significant parts of the discrimination that women face all over the world.
What lessons do you think are important to learn from the past waves of feminism, that has not always addressed the plethora of ways in which women show up in the world?
Well, you know, we talk about feminism like a lot, and we, you know, aren't and when I say we, I mean we as a culture, don't really acknowledge that the demographic that experiences the most violence in this world is transgender women of color. So, you know, giving a voice to that, and making sure people are aware of that is really important, you know, because so much when we think of feminism in the mainstream, it's like, oh, well, now you're, you know, got a raise or free the nipple or, you know, things like that. When while those things are important, there are some really serious issues going on that need our attention immediately. And that maybe past generations haven't always acknowledged, you know, like I know there has definitely been waves of feminism that don't see trans women as being part of the feminist movement, that haven't seen women of color as being part of the feminist movement. So I think that moving as far away from that as possible is kind of important, very important.
Show solidarity and build coalition. I always like to honor our sisters of the past and ask my guest, who are some of your heroes and why?
That's a great question. And, you know, I've been in a lot of conversations recently about sort of bridging the gap between, you know, who is relevant now and who has been relevant in the past, especially in light of, you know, the complexities of, like, Mishfest and that ending and, the you know, older lesbians, you know, and the way that younger queers are coming up and sort of the dichotomies that are existing there. And so this is Megan speaking. I'm trying to read more because I'm a big fan of people like Janet Mock and Laverne Cox, who are, you know, trans women of color talking about things like this. But I'm also trying to, like, read more and learn about the path that comes before. I'm reading Stone Butch Blues for the first time now, and it's really powerful. And so I think that there can definitely be a bridge between, you know, the young feminists and also knowing where they came from in a way, too, while also acknowledging that, like, second-wave feminism isn't going to cut it.
Yeah. Olivia, what about you?
Well, I mean, I guess she's just so on my mind right now. I've been feeling really moved by Toni Morrison and the way that she writes about girlhood. And I think I needed these books at a younger age than I'm reading them now. And I would imagine had I read them at a much younger age, like, I would have been able to answer this question so quickly with this answer. And, I think the fact that she wrote the book that she wanted to read or that she needed to read as a woman is just inherently such an empowering and amazing act. And obviously she's like an incredibly talented writer, but that integrity and that autonomy I just value so much. I am a big fan of Gloria Steinem. I think she's a great example of an intersectional feminist.
You know, I think Gloria Steinem is one of my personal heroes as well. There's a quote that she has, is she says, "Don't think about making women fit the world. Think about making the world fit women." This has always stood out to me. And as you are touring the country, you are motivating us and moving us to do precisely that. the first time you two got on stage together, tell me what that was like.
Oh, it was exciting. I mean, we've been competing all summer for the National Poetry Slam, but the first time we got on stage together as Speak Like a Girl was in Michigan, and it was our first show. And we showed up at the show not knowing who was going to be there, not knowing what the crowd was going to look like.
In a real small town, it was a community college. We weren't expecting much. And there was about 200 people there of all different ages. Kids were showing up before their prom in their full prom gowns.
Tuxedos.
And we were just, I mean, we had some big shoes to fill. And we filled them. And we left that show and we basically looked at each other and said, oh, this is bigger than ourselves, and this is bigger than we thought it was going to be. And so we immediately just got to work on establishing it as something larger than that and started to think about women we could collaborate with and think about places we could visit and different ways to
empower girls.
Yeah, and to kind of make this show solid and permanent
and a movement of sorts as well.
Thank you.
That was great.
You know, I think that is precisely what we do with community radio. Ani, I want to go off to you, and I have a question for you. Who would you say is a woman hero that has stood out to you throughout history?
I like Boudica. I like Emma Goldman. I look up to Patti Smith. I have a lot of heroes. Marge Piercy is one of my heroes, and she, in fact, is an author. I don't know if any of y'all have read her stuff. When I was a teacher's assistant in women's studies, we based our final on her novel, Woman on the Edge of Time, which I would highly recommend to everyone. Even though it was written in 1977, it's pertinent, it's relevant, and I'm interviewing her next week on Positively Revolting on Friday morning at 8 o'clock. So there's heroes and hearing about them and hearing who inspires each other. That's rich conversation. I think it's super important for us to actually tease out what we find inspirational about our heroes and sort of have that discussion. And it can get kind of deep and it can get kind of challenging sometimes as we really look at who it is that inspires us and how they inspire us and who are we leaving out and who are we missing. I think that is a very, it can be a very deep conversation. And it's these conversations, again, that we're just not supposed to have in public, right? These conversations about who inspires us, about who empowers us, how we empower each other, how it's important for girl empowerment to actually learn how to resist and do something about the patriarchy, about rape culture, about the oppressions we face every day. That's part of what KBOO's about. And that's why right now it's well worth your support at 877-500-5266, because when we weave ourselves together, we are very strong. And that is the essence of community. And this is community radio. Come on in, be a part of this community. You know you've already joined with your brain, with your ears. Join us with your heart. Commit. Be a sustaining member of KBOO, your community radio station, and dial 877-500-5266. You can come on into KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th. That's right in between Burnside and Ankeny. That's really just about on your way to anywhere in central East Portland. And we'd love to meet you, give you a tour of the station, show you how things work here, and really talk to you about your involvement in community radio. KBOO is a very accessible, very welcoming environment, and we ask that you get involved right now by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. And becoming a member of KBOO today. Again, we do have a couple more copies of this book, Asking for It, The Alarming Rise of Rape Culture and What We Can Do About It. Again, an inspiring interview that happened on Wednesday morning. I think it relates directly to what Zoe's talking about with Olivia and Megan this evening. This is an ongoing conversation. It's something that Lynn, my co-host, and I look at pretty routinely on Friday mornings on Positively Revolting. It is such an important thing to see how we can inspire each other, how we can keep each other strong, how we can work to protect each other, how we can, in fact, change the world together. You do it the first act of this radical social change is picking up your phone and saying, yeah, you're going to back this media resource with your money. You are going to be one of our sponsors. You're going to be one of the people that makes this radio station possible. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or online, go to kboo.fm and you can click the banner that says join us, and you can do just that. You can get a copy of this book if you call us now. Again, just got a couple left asking for it, The Alarming Rise of Rape Culture and What We Can Do About It. That's a $60 minimum contribution. You can do that so easily at $5 a month. If you've been contributing at $5 or $10 a month for a little bit, why not bump that up a dollar or two and increase your support to community radio? Myself, I suggest people give at an hour's wage. If you have a regular job that you have fairly steady employment, go ahead and take that leap of faith and check your wallet right now and see what you can afford to contribute, and realize that, you know, you can afford that again next month too, and the next month. Break it down to $5 or $10 little bite-sized pieces. It's really a much easier way to give a very substantial donation to your community radio station. Keep us going. Be the blood in our veins. 877-500-5266. I also want to say, and we are a breaking news kind of information sharing kind of place too. And during this program, we had a phone call from a woman who is helping to organize search parties for Lisa Jane Wright. That is tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the St. John's neighborhood. This woman, Lisa Jane Wright, disappeared on Tuesday, September 8th, around 6:30, when she went for a walk in Northwest Portland. Some belongings were found near the St. John's Bridge of hers a little while later. She's got brown hair, blue eyes, a tattoo on her shoulder. She's 37 years old, last seen wearing a long sleeve button-up shirt. This is critical information. If you want more information, there is a website, an email address, I guess I should say, and you can contact searchforlisa@gmail.com or call Detective Hattie Hewlett, 503-823-0797. I know I went through that fast. I have those details here. You can give me a call and I will let you know them again, because this is super important and a little break from the programming we were bringing you, but completely relevant to the topic once again. That's what we do. We incorporate news that is pertinent, that is important, that is in fact really vital in the community. 877-500-5266 is the number to call for your support to KBOO right now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ani, for that important information. I'd like to welcome back Olivia Gatwood and Megan Falley, the founders of Speak Like a Girl and a feminist interactive poetry show. Ladies, welcome back. My question for you is, when did you do your first slam? How old were you and what did that feel like?
This is Megan speaking. For me, it was 2010, which was, 2006, almost a decade ago. And I was in college and I had never really heard of poetry slam. I'd been a performer and a writer for years. And when I came across a slam and saw that the two were married in a way, I was like, this is for me. And I really have not stopped doing it since.
Yeah, mine was, 2007. I was a sophomore in high school. And I had just quit. This is Olivia, if you. I had just quit soccer and decided I kind of wanted to be an artist, and also was really kind of felt like slam poetry was everything I'd been looking for, and I did it once at my high school. I was super nervous, and I just never stopped doing it.
You know, and you guys are doing it well. Talk to me about the writing process. You have many fabulous poems. How do you collaborate on your writing together?
I think that's what actually kind of sparks Speak Like a Girl. Usually writing what are called group poems are really difficult, as you can imagine. Collaborating with someone in that way, merging writing styles and processes, And getting all the way to scripting and memorization is kind of a daunting and often unsuccessful process. And with Megan and I mean, we literally turned to each other before, during writing Collapse the Economy and said, this is going to be easy, and wrote it in about 30 minutes. Not because we weren't trying, but because we both sort of just knew exactly what we wanted to say and how we wanted it to work. And I think that's what, it's like finding a good roommate, you know, you don't let him go. And once we were like, wow, you know, we write so well together, this has to happen.
You ladies are touring, really touring right now, correct? What cities will you be in?
Well, you know, Michigan loves us, so we're going to be in Ann Arbor and Muskegon. We're going to be as well in L.A. Our first show of this big tour is in Boston.
We'll be in St. Louis.
We're just all over the map right now, and we're booking more shows all the time.
If someone wanted to bring your workshop to Portland or performance to their classroom, how would they go about doing that?
They could send us an email to speaklikeagirl@gmail.com, and we would be happy to come to the Pacific Northwest, where we have a crush on it there. So.
Well, we would love to have you. You have been listening this evening to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. I want to thank you, Olivia Gatwood and Megan Falley, for your time with us this evening. And again, speak like a girl. Let's bring it to Portland. Thank you so much, ladies. And we will see you
back here.
Yes, we will see you back here next Friday at 6 p.m. with Bread and Roses. Have a good evening, everyone.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh,
the time is now 7 o'clock. Up next, Hard Knock Radio. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock will be on right after these messages.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration